through all our hard work of reporting, we're finally getting to see a narrative switch. Sadly, it's a narrative we didn't want to see happen. We tried to warn people. We were called conspiracy theorists, along with people like Dr. Peter McCullough, trying to get this conversation out there. But the headlines are now starting to actually give some fair warning. This is what they look like. Take a look. Since COVID, more young people are dying of heart attacks. Here's what we know. And so you see headlines like that, and you say, well, is that just a one-off thing? Absolutely not. We have Paul Offit, vaccine developer, and kind of an unofficial mouthpiece for the vaccine conversation out there, the debate.
Yeah.
This is what he has to say about myocarditis and the COVID vaccine. Take a listen.
Is there a problematic link between the COVID vaccine and heart inflammation?
There certainly is a causal link between vaccination and myocarditis and pericarditis. No doubt about it. It's unclear why. I mean, it may be, as was actually noticed in 2020, that SARS-CoV-2 virus, the spike protein, mimics one of the proteins on heart muscle cells, specifically the heavy chain of actin. So if that's true, then while you're making an immune response to the SARS-CoV-2 spike protein, you're also inadvertently making an immune response to your own heart muscle.
I mean, wow, Paul Offit. I mean, just for people that are not in the know, this is as pro a vaccine human as you can get. He was on the VRBPAC committee for the FDA. He was actually shouting about some of these things, and they started trying to go around him. I'm curious how they're going to label him now a conspiracy theorist. He is one of the leading voices in the vaccine program, and now he's finally admitting it. And just to point out what was said there, Jeffrey, is what he's saying essentially is SARS-CoV-2 seems to mimic, right? We've talked about the cell mimicry. This is discussions we've had for years about the problems with vaccines. But what he's saying is the spike protein, this virus, seems to mimic a heart cell. And so what happens is when you create antibodies attacking the virus, you could create antibodies that attack the heart. And now they may try to say, well, the natural infection does this. But remember, what we have to remember is they bragged that you were getting, you know, hundreds of times the amount of spike protein through the vaccination than you were getting in a natural infection. It also lasts longer because they messed around with the DNA structure so it would live longer in the body. So this is extremely problematic. And it's amazing to me that the CDC is not on CNN right now saying, everybody stop. We're taking this off the childhood schedule.
Yeah, and that's the point. Certainly a causal link, he says. We don't know really the mechanism. It could be making antibodies against your own heart muscle, but hey, we'll figure that out going forward. But let's look at the Cleveland Clinic website. We talk about myocarditis. You know, the CDC says it's mild, it's self-limiting. This is what the Cleveland Clinic info page on it says. Quote, for some people, myocarditis can lead to dilated cardiomyopathy, and they may need a heart transplant. Almost 20% of sudden deaths in young people have a connection to myocarditis. The survival rate for myocarditis is 80% 1 year after having it and 50% 5 years later.
Wow.
Remember all those headlines we're seeing when they're saying, no, it's kids have always fell over in sports and done this. And we need defibrillators in all schools now just because we want to really take care of kids. But then there's
Well, let's point out something else too right here. I don't want to sort of get into the weeds here, but this is why the number one thing we talk about on this show is the need for long-term safety trials that use a placebo group. Do you see what it said there? That even if the study had lasted for 1 year, which it did not, even if we had tracked these people for 1 year against a placebo group, 80% would have survived that myocarditis. But if you had a trial that went 5 years, odds are the people suffering from myocarditis, 50% of them are going to die. So you need trials that will track the amount of time it would take to see, is this really going to be detrimental to people getting it? This is one of the major issues that has got to change immediately in our regulatory agencies. This rushing warp speed of vaccines is the most dangerous thing that could possibly happen. Have we just put 50% of our kids at risk of dying? I mean, seriously, folks, it's time to, you know, spread the word.
And speaking of regulatory agencies, we have Mandy Cohen. She comes from North Carolina. She's now the head of the CDC, and she goes in there trying to rebuild trust. That was her thing. I'm going to rebuild trust in this agency. It self-admittedly has failed Americans. Walensky's out the door. And what's the first headline that really comes out of here besides I want to build trust? It's this headline, annual COVID shots. CDC likely to recommend annual COVID shots, similar to flu, director says. Now, they haven't done it yet, but they're considering this. And remember, this COVID shot is on the childhood recommended schedule. ACIP put it on the schedule. Walensky did that not because of the science was so sound, not because kids needed this, but because that's the only way they could have given it to vaccines for children, these uninsured kids. It's the only way they could have gotten it is if we put it on the schedule. That's why. So when people are going to school in August, in the fall here, remember, it's not science that's put these on the schedule. But remember, they had a chance to change this. All the way back in 2021, Del, here's you reporting on this. We were waiting for the CDC. It was the first meeting they had. Myocarditis was a thing. Independent journalists were beating the drum. CDC finally has a meeting on this. And this is what it looked like in our reporting in June of 2021.
Okay.
The ACIP meeting, the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, met yesterday to finally discuss the myocarditis, the heart inflammation that's happening in children all across this country due to the COVID-19 vaccines.
These are reports to VAERS, myocarditis, pericarditis reports to VAERS, following dose two with an observed versus suspected analysis using a 7-day risk window. Take home message here is that we're observing this in younger age groups, mainly in people in the teens and early 20s, and observing it more in males compared to females. And the difference in the observed versus the expected appears to be greater, generally speaking, in males versus females.
So what does that mean? 200 times the rate of myocarditis in children to a 0.00, what was that, 5 zeros before we get to a number risk of dying from the illness? That means for the first time in history, as far as I know it, the CDC is knowingly recommending a product that is more dangerous by far than the virus threat to our children.
And there it was.
Yeah, and there you have, I guess, and that was the beginning of malinformation, taking true information but making people distrust the government when you use it. So there it is, guilty as charged for spreading information which was true, dangerous to your children, and yes, I hope it did undermine your faith in the CDC.
And remember, in that atmosphere of all that stuff going on, we now know that the Biden administration was aggressively censoring via Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, any conversation that was outside of these are safe and effective. Myocarditis is, you know, we're still studying this. It's just, you could get it just as easily with the natural COVID. So if you said anything, tried to warn people about that, you were getting taken down. You were getting requests from the Biden administration and from the White House. I'm painting a narrative here because we're going to go back to this and understand what this means moving forward. So remember, they said a seven day window. We followed these kids in 7 days. There's the window. If you have myocarditis, that's where we're studying. We found this big, we expected this many, but we observed so many times more. So that was in 2021. That was a, you know, it could have been called a signal. Did they learn anything? No, we're just going to keep watching. So now let's look at the newest study. This just came out in the end of July. Myocarditis and pericarditis post mRNA COVID-19 vaccine insights from pharmacovigilance perspective. And this is the VAERS reporting. So they use this, the VAERS reporting system. So that's the caveat. This VAERS reporting system under reports, typically it's broken. But this is what the researchers said. They said, our study aimed to comprehensively assess potential safety signals related to these cardiac events following the primary and booster doses with a specific focus on younger populations, including children as young as 6 months of age. They found this approximately 37.6% of the total reported myo and pericarditis cases following vaccination were reported by individuals under the age of 25, with the highest percentage of reported cases in the 18 to 24 category, 20.6%, and 12 to 17 years old was 16.8% in that category. Wow. So, you know, those are all words, and it's like sometimes that gets lost. So let's look at the chart from this study, just to give you an idea. This is what a safety signal looks like. That's a tsunami right there of kids in the 12 to about 26, 27 year old male age group. That's the right-hand column, that's the male age group. And that is from the VAERS reporting system. So this signal is still, again, this is a new study. This signal is still here. We're still seeing these things. And so
This and remember, when we look at that chart, what we're looking at is just the swelling of the heart. The following chart would be somewhere down the road between, you know, 1 and 5 years, how many of them end up having heart attacks in their future? That's what we do not see there, because it's just a short window we're looking at in these trials.
At Mayo Clinic says 50% in 5 years. So yeah. that's Mayo Clinic's numbers, not ours. And so we need to ask questions. Unfortunately, there are people asking questions. Senator Rand Paul recently had the CEO of Moderna, the head of Moderna, Stéphane Bancel, the newly minted billionaire from Moderna. He had him at a hearing, and he was able to ask him this question on myocarditis. Take a listen.
All right. Is there a higher interest or a higher incidence of myocarditis among adolescent males 16 to 24 after taking your vaccine?
So thank you for the question, Senator. First, let me say we care deeply about safety, and we're working closely with the CDC and the FDA to
get... Pretty much a yes or no. Is there a higher incidence of myocarditis among boys 16 to 24 after they take your vaccine?
The data I've seen from the CDC actually shown that there's less myocarditis for people who get the vaccine versus who get COVID infection.
You're saying that for ages 16 to 24 among males who take the COVID vaccine, their risk of myocarditis is less than people who get the disease?
That is my understanding,
Senator. That is not true, and I'd like to enter into the record 6 peer-reviewed papers from the Journal of Vaccine, the Annals of Medicine, that say the complete opposite of what you say. I also spoke with your president just last week, and he readily acknowledged in private that, yes, there is an increased risk of myocarditis. The fact that you can't say it in public is quite disturbing.
You know, the fact that it's just single people like Rand Paul, that there's not like 50 other politicians right behind him with their hands in the air saying, fix this now, that's also shocking, right? That the 1% of our government even cares about this.
So Stéphane Bancel, straight face, says you actually can get more myocarditis, more incidences, just from the regular illness, not from the vaccine. Unfortunately, JAMA Cardiology study says something different. And this was in 2022. So you don't have to go, we have to go back a little ways. He should know this, Bancel. SARS-CoV-2 vaccination and myocarditis in a Nordic cohort study of 23 million residents. And let's just go right to the charts here, because this tells the story. So this first chart here, you're looking at myo and pericarditis. And on the left side, you have males 16 to 24, and males 16 to 24 under that. And it has the BNT, that's the Pfizer's vaccine. So you have 2 doses of the Pfizer's vaccine, or below that's a BNT162b2, that's Pfizer's vaccine, and Moderna's vaccine. Remember the mixing and matching.
Yeah.
So these are just the 2 doses. Now you go all the way across to the highlighted area. And for males 16 to 24 getting 2 doses of the Pfizer vaccine, there's basically an 8.3 per 100,000, 7.85 per 100,000. And then if you go down to mixing and matching the vaccine, oh boy, we got a problem here. 37.94 per 100,000, 38.51 per 100,000. So according to Bancel, when we look at the actual infection, the rates of myocarditis and pericarditis in infection, we should see those way higher in those numbers. So let's look at what this study found. So we go to the chart, and you can see males 12 to 15, SARS-CoV-2 infection events, zero.
Wow.
Males 16 to 24, SARS-CoV-2 infection, events of myocarditis, pericarditis, 5, right. Less than or equal to 5. That brings it 1.37 per 100,000. Not even, I mean,
it was 30 times the amount when you had both vaccines in you, and 5 to 6 times. Which is, if that's not a signal, folks, if you're going to continue to keep trusting these people with your lives, then there's nothing that we can do for you here on the High Wire. Best of luck. I really, you got to start thinking, please wake up.
And so what we're doing here is we're fighting to show how hard it is to get a narrative in the face of data, more data, experts in their fields coming forward, like Dr. Peter McCullough and others saying, like, this is a big deal. We're finally getting this out here.